make it. So, we're in a series which is called Living in the World. It's about the Christian response to various life issues. And this week, as you can see, we're looking at social media. Now, a couple of months ago, I said I was going to be speaking about social media, and I asked for a show of hands as to who was on various social media platforms, and about half the people in the congregation that morning put their hands up. So if you're here, if you've never used social media, you may be thinking you're wasting your time. Bear with me. I think the behaviours we find on social media are also behaviours we find outside social media, and I think that people's behaviour on social media has affected how they deal with, if you like, real life. So if you've never logged on to Facebook or Twitter or posted comments on an internet site, stick with me. I hope you'll find something that rings a bell. And if you're not on it, chances are you've got friends or family members that are on it. So, some definitions. Social media, I'm taking to mean any internet-based means for people to connect with each other for social rather than work purposes. So, if you like the big things, like Twitter and Facebook, but also other sort of web-based interactions like bulletin boards on newspaper sites and things like that. And I'm fully aware, I'm a 45-year-old who uses Facebook and just Facebook, and that pretty intermittently. So what I've done is I've done a fair bit of reading and research. If you violently disagree as a seasoned social media user with my conclusions, or you think I've missed the point, then I'm sorry. I say it as I see it. So, final thing to say before I get into the meat of it, so to speak. This talk's going to talk about the dangers of social media. I do think we need to tread carefully on social media, but I am a fan of it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on it. So, don't take this as an encouragement to leave all social media platforms that you're on. Enough waffle. What I'm going to do, I'm going to talk a bit about social media, then we'll read the Bible, and then I'll try to apply it. Okay, good. Social media. What I want to do is talk about three things as to how people use social media, which I think pose a danger for us as Christians. Here they are. Here's number one. Feel free to disagree, but I think the biggest reason that many people use social media is attention seeking. Look at me. Look at me. But it's not just look at me. You have to be positive and provide support as well. Love me. Look at me and love me. It's the same sort of behavior you see in really young children. If you see a really young child, that child will want you to watch him or her jump in the air, ride a bicycle, swim in the swimming pool, whatever it is, and they'll want your approval for having done so. That's fine in really young children. It's a bit more disturbing when you see it in 45-year-olds like me. Now, there have been a whole bunch of academic studies done on social media. Because they're written in academic language, I'll translate what they say a little bit. But what they point to is something called narcissism. Narcissism is a word that means people being overly interested in themselves. So, here's the academic bit. Three university studies. University of Georgia, 2008, this is what they said. Narcissists, these people who are overly interested in themselves, are using Facebook the same way they use their other relationships, for self-promotion with an emphasis on quantity over quality. York University, 2010, they said this, individuals higher in narcissism and lower in self-esteem spent more time on the site and filled their pages with more self-promotional content. They're updating their status every 5 minutes, and the photos they post are very carefully chosen. The question is, are these really accurate representations of the individual, or are they merely a projection of who the individual wants to be? Final one, 2012, Western Illinois University. They pointed to behaviors such as seeking social support more than providing it, getting angry when others do not comment on status updates, and retaliating against negative comments. Does any of that ring a bell? Look at me and love me. The reason we become obsessed with ourselves, sorry, the risk is that we become obsessed with ourselves and our needs. We crave the approval we get from our contacts on the social media platforms, whether it's positive replies or likes or whatever the different mechanism is. And that changes our behaviour on social media. It's like, you know, in the fairground, you go to the fairground, you go to the Hall of Mirrors. The Hall of Mirrors are not a true reflection. They distort the picture. Now, it's an unwritten rule on many social media platforms that we should always show our best side and be positive. It becomes, if you like, look at my wonderful life. I don't know how many of you receive those sort of Christmas letters or those round robin letters you get at Christmas. You might receive them from a family that you know has been struggling all year with family breakdown or illness or financial difficulty or whatever it is. But my goodness, the Christmas letter paints a picture of success and happiness and everything being hunky-dory. You know it's not accurate. And it can be very intimidating if you're struggling with life to see others posting how wonderful their life is. Here's the second danger of social media. Now, this is a poster that Transport for London brought out in 2012 to warn people against abusing their staff. It's quite a clever poster, I think. The words at the bottom are too small, probably for you to read, too indistinct as well, on the wall. So this is what the words at the bottom say. Our staff are here to advise you in a polite and helpful way. Abusing or swearing at them is offensive, unacceptable, and TfL will prosecute offenders. So consider the consequences. Consider the consequences. Don't abuse the staff. Why? Well, because it's wrong to do so. But also because TfL will prosecute you. How can they prosecute you? Because you're there. The staff member can see you shouting at them and swearing at them. Consider the consequences. On the internet, we don't have to consider the consequences very much. What the internet has done is make it possible to express opinions anonymously, by and large. You don't need to take responsibility for what you write, so it can become a sort of, who, me? No, I'm just anonymous. Now, recently, some so-called internet trolls, people who post particularly obnoxious things, have been unmasked. But by and large, you still have the ability, when commenting online on, say, a newspaper website, to publish opinion without people knowing who you are. Why is that a problem? Well, because it means the consequences for you are much less than if you're communicating face-to-face. Someone can take down an offensive comment from a newspaper website, but actually the tolerance levels of the moderators of those sites are pretty high of some pretty extreme comment. Someone can block you on Twitter, but then you can continue to plague other Twitter users with your offensiveness. And what happens in society when people feel they can do things without consequence? Well, for you teachers, what happens in a schoolroom when the teacher leaves the room and the students knows that no one is looking? You get chaos. You get chaos. What happens in society generally? You get things like the London riots in 2011. Extreme behaviour. Have a look at the comments section. Go to a newspaper website. Have a look at the comments section, particularly around, say, I don't know, stories on politics, stories where people have strong views. See how people disagree with each other when they're anonymous. Are they measured in their tone, or are they extreme? Have a look. Have a look. Which brings me on to the last thing on social media I want to focus on before we read the Bible, which is really another side of the same coin. Anonymity has made people on social media more extreme in their views. It's also made them more aggressive. People are very quick to take offense, and when they take offense, they go straight for the jugular. And a danger really comes when several people start to attack someone. The same sort of group madness takes over that caused the London riots to grow in intensity and violence. Now, to show you what I mean, I wanted to use a particular example of someone who did something offensive on social media and what happened to them. So, when I was preparing this sermon, I read that book by a journalist called John Ronson called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Anyone read it? No? Very recent book. Read it. It's very good. It's very scary. Very scary. So, John Ronson tells several stories. One of them is about an American woman called Lindsay Stone. Now, John Ronson tells how she was a carer. She was employed in America by an organization called LIFE, which was a residence for high-functioning people with learning difficulties. And when she wasn't at work, she had a running joke with one of the other carers at the residence, which was taking stupid photographs. So she'd find a no smoking sign and take a picture of her smoking in front of it. She'd mimic the poses of various statues and have her photo taken, that sort of thing. So Lindsay Stone, this American lady, and her friend, they took a group of residents from LIFE on a trip to Washington, D.C. And whilst they were there, they visited Arlington National Cemetery, which is a very famous military cemetery in the U.S. And they thought they'd take one of their funny pictures. I'm going to show the funny picture. It is a bit offensive. If you're easily offended, look away now. So, she put this on her Facebook page. She didn't quite understand the privacy settings, and so she didn't tick all the relevant boxes. Various people shared her photo, and then others saw it and shared it. Now, it's a pretty tasteless photo, particularly if you've had relatives buried in that cemetery. I'm going to put up some of the messages posted on her Facebook page. I'm going to put them on the wall, but I'm not going to read them out because they're extremely offensive. I was in two minds as to whether or not to do this, but I think in order to show, if you like, to illustrate how aggressive people are, I decided to. Again, I'm not going to read this out. If you're easily offended, you may not want to read it. This was all because of one photograph. Nothing else. Okay, I'm going to take that off now. Okay. So a Facebook page called Fire Lindsay Stone was set up. It got 12,000 likes. Camera crews camped outside her house. She didn't leave her house for a year. Is that a proportionate response to an offensive photo? No, it's not. It's also not unique on social media. Here are some more examples. The man who Jeremy Clarkson punched got death threats. The woman that proposed putting more women on banknotes got death and rape threats. Rio Ferdinand, the footballer, his wife recently died. He got tweets suggesting he deserved it for having fallen out with John Terry of Chelsea. Three aspects of social media. Look at me and love me. Who? Me? How dare you? You must die. Let's look at the Bible. What does this passage in Ephesians say about how Christians should respond? Well, actually quite a lot. It says how we should deal with these things and why. So please turn in the Bibles to page 1110. And Sarah's going to come and read verses 17 to chapter 5, verse 2.
So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Okay, just jump in there. Reflect on what Paul is saying before Sarah carries on reading it. He's calling on Christians not to follow the crowd, but to be like God in holiness, to be set apart, to be different. He says that those who don't follow God have no understanding and have hard hearts and indulge themselves in impurity and greed. They lack the sensitivity to know they're going too far. That looks like a pretty accurate description of many of the bulletin boards I've seen. What does Paul say we should do? Well, Sarah's going to carry on reading.
Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Those who've been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Okay, thank you very much, Sarah. Now let's see how this addresses the different dangers of social media. Look at me and love me. We paint a false picture of ourselves so that people might love, respect, and envy us for our beautiful life. What does the Bible say? Well, verse 25. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour. Enough pretending. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What a challenge that is for those of us on social media. What an idea. Drives a coach and horses through the attention-seeking behaviour it's so easy for us to get into. Imagine if we thought every time we post on social media, is anything I am going to say unwholesome? Will it build others up? Not will it build me up in the eyes of others, but will it build others up? How does this passage address the dangers of anonymity and the tendency on social media to react in extreme ways? Well, verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You may be able to hide behind anonymity, but the instruction is clear. Replace anger with forgiveness. Do not harbour bitterness. When offended by someone, react kindly, not angrily. Back in 1994, when Joe and I got married, we were given advice that basically was around that line, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Very good advice for marriage. Very good advice for friendship. Make up and reconcile before the day is out. It's more difficult on social media because once you've clicked, and it's out there. Maybe we could apply that saying by saying, do not let the left button of the mouse go down while you are still angry. Don't post when cross. Don't do these things. Do other things. But that can come across, can't it, like sort of website rules. Behave in this way or you'll be blocked or barred. That's not the reason why Christians should conduct themselves properly on social media. And this passage also tells us why we should conduct ourselves properly on social media. And it's illustrated by a clip from The Lion King, which we're going to watch. Ignore the circle of life nonsense. But what this passage says is, remember who you are. Look at me and love me. The Bible says God looks at us and loves us. Verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Why should we build up others and not ourselves? Because we remember who we are. Dearly loved children, we don't need to seek the approval of others because we have the approval of the only person whose approval lasts for all eternity. Why should we have regard to others? Because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. He had regard to our needs over his own, supremely so, when he left the glory of heaven to die on a cross and was separated from his Father. That's beyond understanding, but if we can grasp some small part of what it means for God to have loved us in this way and how he loves us now, it'll mean we don't need to seek attention from others, but can show love to others, knowing that God has loved us so much more. What about who me, the desire to hide and be anonymous? Well, the Bible says, remember who you are. You are not anonymous. You are a new creation. Verses 22 to 24. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Far from hiding in the shadows, Paul instructs us to put on a new self, created not to hide away, not to hide away like that person Jen was talking about earlier, that picture that they had of that child, but be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so let us not do anything anonymously that we would be ashamed of putting our name to. Let's not act in an unrighteous or unholy manner because we're anonymous. God says to you and me, you are not anonymous. I have chosen you, you are mine. Remember who you are. and live accordingly. What about how dare you? You must die. You have offended me and you must pay the price. You must die. Ah, but someone has died. Social media shames those it disapproves of, but never so far as to strip them and nail them to a cross and tear apart God from God. We follow a God who was shamed and who bids us join in his sufferings. Christians are called to be the ones who are shamed, not the ones doing the shaming. Remember who we are. We are bought at a price. God had every right to say to us, "How dare you? You must die." But instead, Jesus died in our place, so we didn't have to. We offended God far more than we have ever been offended by others. So what should our response be when people offend us? Well, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We must forgive, not to get forgiveness, because we have been forgiven. We are forgiven people. Remember who we are. We must offer that same forgiveness to others. By all means, disagree with people on social media. By all means, criticize their views. But we must put aside anger and bitterness and have no part in the actions of the mob that are quick to shout, "Crucify." Remember who we are. Jesus was once presented with a crowd holding rocks in their hands in front of a woman caught in adultery. He invited the man who had no sin to throw the first stone. No one did. We are forgiven sinners if we follow Jesus. We must remember that we needed forgiveness, that we stood in the place of the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus not only prevented us from being destroyed like he did that woman, he took our punishment himself. I found it challenging to prepare this talk. I've had in mind a number of my Facebook posts when I've been preparing it. I've been convicted of my selfishness and in particular my attention seeking. God says to me and God says to us, remember who you are. Now live the life I have called you to live. May we do that with our actions and our words, whether said out loud or written on a computer keyboard or a smartphone screen.